أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين
الله
صل على محمد. Monday, 4th of June 2001. We are discussing Imamat and Wilayat. And we are looking at the verses of the Holy Quran that prove the Wilayat of Imam Ali al-Islam. I must tell you, there are five main verses. This is something all of us should know at the tip of our fingers. There are five main verses in the Holy Quran that prove the wilayat of Imam Ali al-Islam. That prove that Imam Ali al-Islam is the rightful successor of the Holy Prophet. Five main verses. Out of these five, we are not here to prove that Imam Ali al-Islam is the best of all companions. That fadail of Imam Ali al-Islam, there are 30 or 35 other verses. We are proving that five verses clearly indicate, with all the contextual evidence in history, prove that Imam Ali al-Islam is the rightful successor of the Holy Prophet. These five verses are named verses in the sense that you remember the verse by a name. So last week we discussed about Ayat al-Tabligh, which is called بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مَنْ رَبِّكَ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَةِ رَبِّكَ. Today, we look at all the four others because a lot of these verses we have already done, right? And so we will stick to that particular aspect of the evidence that proves that Imam Ali al-Islam is the rightful successor. Now, the second verse is Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 55. That is very easy to remember. It's 5:55. Which is called again Ayatul Wilaya, which says Innama waliyukumullah alayhi salam. Innama waliyukumullahu wa rasuluhu walladhina amanu walladhina yuqimuna as-salata wa yu'tuna az-zakata wa hum rati'un. Sadaqallahu al-aliyy al-azim. It says that your wali. Now mind you, we have two meanings of wali, two main meanings of wali. One is friends and friendship, and one is master and mastership. And we say that walaya, in Arabic, there is a difference between wilaya and walaya. Wilaya with a kasra in the noun is the friends and friendship that we talk about. Walaya with a waw fatha is the mastership, the authority to rule. So, what these verses are talking about, إِنَّمَا وَلِيكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. This verse is a very clear verse. And all Sunni Mufassirin, again, I repeat the names because when you talk to a Sunni brother, you got to know the names of the tafsir of Sunni brothers, of Sunni scholars. You have Durul Manthur of Suyuti, you have Zamakhshari, Kashaf, Tafsir al-Kashaf of Jarullah al-Zamakhshari. Then you have Fakhruddin al-Razi, which is Tafsir al-Kabir, right? These are the main Sunni tafsirs. And you will find reference, contextual reference, that we are quoting from these books. That this verse was revealed, the main story, of course, with slight variations here and there. The main story is that Imam Ali al-Islam was reciting prayers in the mosque. He was reciting prayers when somebody came in the mosque. Now, this is Masjid al-Nabi, we are talking of Medina. Masjid al-Nabi, this man came and asked. He begged, anybody to help me? Nobody helped him. He asked again, nobody helped him. He raised his hands and said, "Oh Allah, bear witness that I have come to the mosque of your Prophet and nobody is willing to help me." Imam Ali al-Islam at that time was in ruku, and what he did was he pointed to his finger, and the beggar saw that Imam Ali al-Islam is beckoning towards him, pointing towards him. So he went closer. Imam Ali took out his ring, right? And the beggar took hold of the ring and left. The hadith, the story goes on that the Prophet met him outside the mosque and said, "Where did you get this ring from?" So the man explained to the Holy Prophet that I came, I asked, nobody was giving, and when I said this, Ali ibn Abi Talib, who is reciting prayers, pointed to his finger and gave me this ring. That is the time when the Prophet had told his companions that Jibreel came to me with this verse, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. Now, it's a very clear verse. Wali, authority. See, people argue, look at the arguments, look at the... You see, we wonder that if such a clear verse exists in the Holy Quran, that your master is Allah first, and his messenger, and then those who do this. What is the objection that people have? What are the questions that Sunnis would say that based on this, we don't accept this? To us, it may sound very obvious, right? But what do the Sunnis say? First of all, the Sunnis say, Wali is just a friend. Right? That is their best argument. You talk to anybody, Mawla is friend. Wali is friendship. So, you ask them that this verse is so clear that Allah is your master. They'll say, hey, wait a minute, Wali is friend. Just think about this, that if Wali is just a friend, then Allah is reduced to a level of friend. The very fact that Allah's name is mentioned together shows that this wilaya is not a wilaya, it is walaya. It is mastership and authority, because Allah is included in that hierarchy, number one. Number two, the Sunnis also agree that there cannot be any contradiction in the Holy Quran, right? This one is specifying that Allah, the Holy Prophet, and those who do this. We'll come to that last aspect. Why is it in plural and all that, yeah? But those who do this are your friends. If we were to assume that this is friend. But in Surah Tawbah, and I said this last time, Surah Tawbah, verse number 71, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says that the believers are friends of each other. Innal mu'minina ba'aduhum awliya'u ba'd. Right? That means they are friends with each other. Now that awliya'u ba'aduhum awliya'u ba'd means they are friends with each other. So something that has been generalized at all levels cannot be said that Allah is also together. Right? It has to be the mastership. So that is their first argument. Their second argument is that this is plural. You see, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. This is plural. Now, from singular, it switches to plural. How can a plural be referring to one person? This is their second best argument. You know, they say, this is referring to generally a good mu'min. Wilayatul Amr or Walayatul Amr, that is the authority of rule, is given to generally a person who believes and who establishes prayers and who does this kind of thing. Because Allah is mentioning it in the plural, not in the singular. Well, in reply, there are so many verses in the Holy Quran, both good and bad, referring to people who are good and referring to people who are bad, where Allah has mentioned in plural when He is referring to one person in singular. That is His style of showing the greatness or the grandness, right? Okay, this is not something to be taken lightly. When it comes from the kuffars and munafiqeen, when it comes from the hypocrites, Allah mentions it in plural when the person who has said it is only one, to show the severity of the issue. Similarly, in this way, when it is good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions good things in plural about one person to show the grandness of the person. Now let's look at examples. Best example that comes to mind is Suratul Munafiqun. Suratul Munafiqun, verse number 7. This is of course in about Munafiqun. Verse number 8, sorry. يقولون لئن رجعنا إلى المدينة ليخرجن الأعز منها الأذل. This is Surah number 63, verse number 8. They are saying, this is plural now, 63 verse number 8. Surah number 63 verse number 8. They are saying that if we return to Medina, the dignified amongst us will remove those who are humble, kesu, adal, zalil. Right? Now, the word Allah has used is plural. Yaquluna, they are saying. When you look at the contextual historic background to this particular verse, who said this? Look at this. Who said this? You have it in your tafsir, English one.
Abdullah ibn Ubayy.
Abdullah ibn Ubayy. One person. Abdullah ibn Ubayy. So the style that Allah uses, and this is not the only one. I have verses here, for example, if we look at Ayatul Mubahila. Anybody remember where Ayatul Mubahila is? Surah number 60.
Verse 60
of Ali Imran. 360. What does the verse say? Wa in hajjuka. فَمَنْ حَاجَّكَ فِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ فَقُلْ تَعَالَوْ نَدْعُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَكُمْ وَأَنفُسَنَا وَأَنفُسَكُمْ ثُمَّ نَبْتَهِلْ فَنَجْعَلْ لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ. Right? Now, here the Holy Prophet is saying, we will call our women. Well, actually, in practice, what does he do? Calls only one lady. So there is evidence in the Holy Quran that plural tense has been used for singular. Right? So when they say that why this is plural, you can show them so many verses here.
They could argue on this one now to say that this was actually the challenge to bring your women in plural and we bring our women, but the fact Prophet did only bring one woman, but this is just a challenge, not referring to one woman.
It could, yes, I understand what you're saying. This was before the
actually,
once he had brought and then the verse was revealed. But you see, if you look at the other way, that tatbiq of the ayat, the application of the verse, can be applied to single. When the Prophet had said that we will bring our women, you bring your women, and then the Prophet brought only one woman, shows that he could apply that challenge which is for women and bring only one woman. Similarly, when this verse reveals, you can apply it to one person as opposed to more than one person. That's the whole idea. The idea is that possibility of applying the verse onto one person only is there from the Holy Quran. Right? I can give you other verses. There is Surah Al-Mumtahina, first verse. There is Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 2 and 5. There is Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 52. All these verses that are referring to scenarios or events that took place where one person is doing something and Allah is referring to it in plural. To show that plurality does not have any grounds or reasons that you have to reject this particular verse.
And this same surah, my 11th ayat as well.
Sorry?
11th ayat refers to one person only. In this surah, Maida.
Surah Al-Maida?
Ayat number 11. A man called Umar ibn Jahash, Ban Nadir, from the Ban Nadir, tried to kill the Prophet with a sword.
إِذْ هَمَّ قَوْمٌ يَبْسُطُ إِلَيْكُمْ أَيْدِيَهُمْ فَكَفَّ أَيْدِيَهُمْ عَنْكُمْ. This is referring to only one person.
One man from Banu Nuzair who tried to kill the Prophet. Is that listed in the Nafahat?
No.
I remember when people had determined to stretch forth their hand. Maybe they did not mention that. Ahapuya talks about this issue quite a lot actually.
Who?
Ahapuya. In the tafsir of the verse, he says that about the plural. He gives examples also. For example, one man who Abu Sufyan had bribed for trying to discourage Muslims, only one man. His name was Naim bin Masud. And the ayat revealed for him was in plural.
Yeah, this is Naim bin
Masud,
yeah.
This is Ali Imran 173.
Yeah.
And then about this one, Umar bin Jahash from Banu Nadir. And he also talks about Nabi Ibrahim is called Ummah in Nahr.
Yeah, when he's one person.
Yeah, he's called the whole Ummah. Ayat number, he says ayat number 120 of Nahl.
Of?
Nahl. Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan.
Surah Al-Nahl.
What was the translation? Translation here is not good. The translation here is, verily Imam, Ibrahim was an Imam.
Ummah is not an Imam. See, this is another example. If you look at Surah number 16, verse number 120. Inna Ibrahima kana ummatan. One person is called the whole community. Ummat, you know Ummah. Ummah of the Holy Prophet. So, can imagine, one person can be called. So this is the language of the Holy Quran. Okay. Plural and singular does not matter much.
But right. Sometimes in the past we've said, well, this means this because it's plural. We have in the past, you know, said, well, this can only mean this because it's plural. So we can't do that anymore because it could mean singular.
Come again.
In the past, we've tried to justify that this doesn't refer to what, you know, we've used the same arguments in reverse.
Oh, interesting. Refresh your memory.
No, I wish I could. Yeah. I have to go through the tapes.
No, take your time. In a sense that, you know, I don't remember, I don't know if anybody else does remember here, but I don't remember saying, you know, reading anything here, because this is plural, it has to mean more than one person. Do you remember? Anybody from the, those who have been attending from the word go?
I find it disturbing that now we can't make that clear-cut decision anymore. There must be a rhyme or a reason for this. Otherwise, what we're saying is plurality no longer can be a factor we can consider when we're trying to interpret it, because it could be or not.
The Quran style is unique that way. I think what it does is, Mustafa said, the reason is this, that it's to show the severity of or the graveness of what we've done.
You see, this is one. The other thing, it does not mean that when every time a plural word is used, it means singular. It doesn't mean that, right? So every time, for example, the verse that says "Kunu ma'asadiqin," right? Be with those who are truthful. Now, again, those who are truthful is meant in plural. It means plural. That is why "sadiqin" is used.
No, also in this particular verse. You can tell it's referring to a single event because those who, you see, if you look at it, it's...
Which one? Yuqimuna
Salat, right?
You mean Hum Raqiyun?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Well, because for main reason is nobody has ever shown a second person who's ever done that.
Yes, but the point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that your wali, okay, is Allah and the Prophet, and the one who establishes the prayer, or those who establish the prayer, they believe, they establish the prayer. Then this part, this last part, is quite specific. They give zakat while they're in ruku. It's not a normal behavior pattern. people have not been told to give zakat while you're in ruku. That's not how we've been taught. So it is specific to one person who did it once.
No, I'm not arguing that point.
So no. That gives us a clue that this is singular.
No, beyond that, but nobody's ever shown a second person who's ever done that. And they've tried to show another person, but nobody else has done that. I mean,
well, afterwards, enough people bribe, you know, they bribe served slaves to come and ask them while they were in ruku, and they would give them money.
Yeah, but that's
See, let me tell you, in public speaking, for example, when you want to give an example of the gravity of the action itself, the gravity of the action, now that's the reference here. If I tell you, okay, for example, apre, you know, we have to do this and this and that, and then I say, apre ghare betha betha ke kare thao, right? Probably referring to a person who's sitting at home and saying that we have to do this, right? I refer to one person, but when I make it general and say, apre ghare betha nathi thao, right? Probably all of you will say, ah, this guy is referring to this particular person who had said we have to do this, but he himself is not doing it. You see, there is this style of explaining the gravity of the action by generalizing it and making it public, making it plural. And when we use the plural form, all of us who understand what we're talking about will identify that to one person. That's the specific reason why Allah uses plural form here. The gravity of the action. Gravity in both ways, you know, grandness and seriousness, right? But he uses that because of the action itself. It is so great, right? Either in good way or bad way, that it needs mentioning, hey, this is not how it will work, or this is how it will work. So, I think we have to draw the line there. Okay, when Allah is speaking specifically on the gravity of the action itself, then He uses plural form many a times. Right? He's used it in Qawm, like you gave that example in verse number 11 of Surah 5, which talks about a whole Qawm trying to extend their hands to harming you, and Allah will protect you. That, when it was only one person who had done it. Or when we talk of the Munafiq Abdullah bin Ubay, who wanted to, who said that when we get back to Medina, we will teach them a lesson, right? Allah uses that in plural, they said, because the gravity of those words was so serious. Even if it was said by one person, many of them would be harboring the thoughts. But Allah is mentioning it in general, in plural form, just to show that how serious it is. Now, one or two more arguments that the Sunnis have regarding this particular verse. Some are serious, some are not very serious. One is that, for example, wilayat is Allah's and the Holy Prophet's during the time of the Holy Prophet, because wilayat is authority. Walaya is rule, power of control, that they have the authority over us. So during the time of the Holy Prophet, Allah has the authority and His Messenger has the authority, but not Imam Ali al-Islam. Imam Ali al-Islam's authority started after the Prophet died, not during the lifetime of the Holy Prophet. And so, this verse doesn't carry any weight because it is during the lifetime of the Holy Prophet that it is referring to wilayat or walayat, right? That argument also has no basis, really. They are trying. You see, you got to understand, the Sunnis will try any way possible to cloud it, to shroud it. This is not referring to Imam Ali al-Islam. This particular argument also has no bearing, because when walayat is appointed does not mean that the time of rule starts immediately. When Prophet, in Surah Maryam, verse number 5, I think.
Do we not go to Hazrat Musa? In his time, Nabi Musa's time, Nabi Harun was also a prophet.
A prophet.
At the same time, not right. After he died.
A prophet, no. But you see, walayat, he was not wali. Musa was imam. Prophet Musa was an imam at that time. He was the authority. Prophet Harun was a prophet, but not that they shared responsibilities. So Prophet Musa was spirit, right? Imam Ali al-Islam, without the name mentioned, we are trying to prove that wilayat authority equal to the Prophet after the Prophet's death, right? And they are saying, the Sunnis are saying, that no, this wilayat, if you think it means mastership, was announced during his lifetime. So how can it work? Well, the answer is in Surah Maryam, verse number 5, where Prophet Zakaria asks for a wali. Habli min ladunka waliya. So wali can mean that whilst he is my wali, does not mean he has authority whilst I am alive. Wali means that he will have authority, or he has authority But not necessarily during my lifetime. It can happen during, after my lifetime. These are some of the arguments that the Sunnis have. The Sunnis also have this argument, this zakat. What zakat was this? Right. Was it a zakat, a mustahab zakat or a wajib zakat? And what kind of mustahab zakats and all this? Again, zakat is a very general noun, meaning charity. It can mean wajib, it can mean mustahab. It does not, zakat literally, you know, sadqa is a kind of zakat, right? Fitra is a kind of zakat. And then there is zakat emal, which is what we do when we understand zakat. So zakat is a very general term. They are just trying to probe, how do we prove this wrong? They have even fabricated a hadith which I wouldn't be surprised if you have heard from Shia scholars. I haven't heard, but I wouldn't be surprised because some Shia scholars may say, in their argument, Imam Ali Islam was a very pious person and he lived very frugal. See, he didn't have any possessions, so where did he get a ring from? Right? Now, living frugally does not mean he didn't have a ring. He had a ring. Now, the hadith that was fabricated that he had a ring which the value of the ring was equal to a mountain of gold in Damascus, in Syria, in Al-Sham. Right? So now that is something very valuable. Why I say you wouldn't be surprised that Shia scholars pass it here, that Samara, so that means, you know, they're trying to say they actually want to change for zakat by Imam Ali al-Islam. But he's just trying to undermine the status of Imam Ali al-Islam. All Imam Ali al-Islam did was to respond to the plea of a beggar with whatever he had. And in the time of prayers, he had this ring, he said, come and take it. Nothing else I can give you right now. If it was outside prayers, he could have given him other rings. Coming to the time of prayers, this is another problem. Zamakhshari in his book says that Imam Ali al-Islam was so zahid and muttaqi, yusalli bil wara'a wal khasha. That means he recites prayers and concentrates in his prayers so much so that there is a hadith that when he had an arrow struck in his feet, Bibi Fatima alayha salam said, wait until he starts praying. When he starts praying, remove the arrow. You have heard the story. So remove the arrow at that time. How could a person who can get to that level of piety and concentration in prayers, how could he hear that somebody has come to beg and give him his ring? Contradicts, it doesn't tell him.
Samakshari actually has done a good job on this Imam Ali issue. Samakshari is a tafsir to be quoted frequently because he's done an excellent job in...
In Hubb Ahlul Bayt and Imam Ali al-Islam.
His most powerful element is explaining the concepts, you know, plurals and all that. Why plurals are difficult words in Quran, the grammatical errors, so-called errors in Quran. He has shown how, why they are like that. And he has written about Ali ibn Abi Talib, this is plural because it is an action that Allah wants to encourage.
So what's the action of Imam Ali al-Islam?
You see, how can one hear somebody because when you're praying, you're so into his salah that you can't hear anything what's going around, you're just so close to Allah. But this was actually command of Allah to do that.
Command of Allah?
Because he was in that level with Allah. He heard from Allah to do this, not that he heard the call of the Mecca. This is another.
You know, I heard this this in a madlis once. This is years back. That Imam Ali al-Islam ne dunya mein awaz nahi suni. See, when the person raised his hands and cried to Allah, that bear witness, I have come to the mosque. To waha ki awaz suni. Because Imam Ali al-Islam was close proximity to Allah, he was talking to Allah. Waha ki awaz suna ki, bhai, somebody is asking for something in the world. However far-fetched that may seem, there may be some truth to that, in the sense that Imam Ali al-Islam was oblivious to what was going on around, but that was only worldly. When it came to giving, when it came to somebody asking for sadaqah and zakat, in a feeler situation, we're talking of his feelers, yeah? They go out immediately. Okay, this is an opportunity to do something good. Whether it is ibadat or whether it is a noble task or whatever it is, taratat, the feelers go out. If nobody is doing it, because I am praying, nobody is doing it, the least I can do is give my ring, and here it is. So, the worst thing is that how can they question that a pious person cannot give? Look at this, how can they, the Sunnis, question that a pious person who concentrates heavily on prayers cannot give a ring in zakat, in sadaqah, in charity, when Allah has encouraged and praised this particular thing? Allah has praised it. Quran, Allah has praised. Forget Imam Ali al-Islam for a moment. Think it is not Imam Ali al-Islam. But Allah has praised that particular action. How can they now sit back and say, okay, these two things cannot happen, when Allah Himself has praised this particular action? So you can imagine, in their hatred for Imam Ali al-Islam, they are willing to question the wisdom and the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who says this is praiseworthy. That action of giving zakat whilst they are in ruku is praiseworthy, Allah mentions in the Holy Quran. And they say, how can a person do this? How can a person have two hearts? How can a person be reciting prayers and give zakat? Allah has praised it Himself, means that a person not only can do it, is praiseworthy. So in their bid to prove that this is not for Imam Ali al-Islam, they are questioning what Allah has judged, that is praiseworthy.
So you mentioned that it may seem far-fetched, but I mean, to reach near the Arsh of Allah and to hear these pleas reaching there, shaitan reached there. If shaitan could reach there, any human being with the piety could reach there.
Well, when I say far-fetched, I mean, shaitan is somebody else. He's been granted certain powers that nobody has with you. Shaitan has been granted the powers to live for a long life, to penetrate people's minds, to penetrate people's, through lives and all that.
Previous to that, through his piety, he reached that level. So how can we say that any person who is not pious can't reach that level? And Imam Ali was the peak of piety, next to the Prophet.
Well, as I said, as much as far-fetched it may sound, there is some truth in it. I agree with you. There is some truth in that. That Imam Ali al-Islam may have heard this there, not in this world. That means, in this world, he was deaf to whatever was happening around him. But when it came to sadaqah or zakat, whether he heard it here or he heard it up there, right? I know that he could hear it. That is true, he has heard it. Right, any questions before we go on? So this is the second verse which proves the walayat of Imam Ali al-Islam, which is Ayatul Walaya, verse number 555. Surah number 5, verse number 55. The third and the fourth verses, which are quite straightforward, and because of the contextual background that we have discussed of these two verses, of Ayatul Tabligh and Ayatul Walaya, we will not go into details because they are more or less the same. One is Surah An-Nisa 59, which is Ayat Ulil Amr. Surah An-Nisa, which is Surah number 4. Verse number 59. Ayat Ulil Amr. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ati'u allaha wa ati'u rasula wa ulil amri minkum. That this is absolute obedience required of Allah, the Holy Prophet, and Ulil Amr. Just as you would obey Allah, in the same way you would obey the Holy Prophet, in the same way you would obey Ulil Amr. Now, there has been extensive discussion on who these Ulil Amr are. The Sunnis would say Ulil Amr are those who are in power. Whereas Ulul Amr are those who have been granted the authority to rule, to succeed the Holy Prophet and guide us there. Again, this verse very clearly refers to, contextually again, the Shan and Nuzul, and historically, it refers to Walayat of Imam Ali al-Islam. why it is in plural and all that comes under the same discussions that we have had recently.
So, Musawa, one point there. If plurality is used to emphasize the importance, why does it say the apostle and then switches to plurality?
Sorry?
Why does it use singular form for apostle?
In the apostle. Why the single form in the apostle?
Yeah, and then plurality. I mean, if you want to emphasize on important, you wouldn't switch like that.
There's only one prophet, Ulul Amr the Imam, and he would believe them to be 12.
That is another tafsir.
Also to leave some leeway for people who want to do matata.
Tafsir of Burhan, volume 1, page 381 to 387. Tafsir al-Burhan is a tafsir, is written by Shia, of course, but it has references of Sunni books in which 12 Imam names have been mentioned. In the Sunni books that the names of Imam have been mentioned, Konche, where the Holy Prophet was talking to Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, and he named all the Imams. It's found, I think, in Kanzul Ummal, and Mahajjat al-Bayda. These are two main Sunni books where you can find this hadith. Now, Tafsir al-Burhan, page volume 1, page 381 to 387, has got reference regarding this verse. Okay, when it comes to Ati Allah, Ati al-Rasul, wa ulil amri minkum, ulil amri is referring to who? And all these 12 names have been mentioned. So, that's the wilayat again is the same thing. Wali, they say this is friendship and not mastership. We come to the same argument. Singular to plurality, we come to the same argument. And therefore, what is important is to understand that there, waliyukum Allah wa rasuluhu walladhina amanu, right? So wilayat is granted to Allah, the Holy Prophet, and then those who believe, referring to Imam Ali in Islam. Similarly here, obedience, absolute submission in obedience to Allah, the Holy Prophet, and the 12 Imams.
Can I ask one point? On the successorship of the Prophet, the Sunnis obviously accept the Khilafah of Abu Bakr and Umar. Do they by any way say that this has come from the Prophet, or do they accept these were elected and nominated? Do they pretend that these were linked to the Prophet, and the Prophet somehow gave his approval to this? Or do they say the Prophet didn't say anything? And I mean, we say the Prophet
said this clearly.
They said this clearly, but on the basis of their successorship, do they actually have any pretense that the Prophet gave it any credit or merit?
The way I understand it, the way I read history, is that they incited the public that it is our right to choose a successor. And that all this, and remember one thing, Imam Ali al-Islam was not there in Saqifah. He was busy looking after the Holy Prophet. These people knew that if they even give a chance, Imam Ali al-Islam be present. Right? Imam Ali al-Islam would remind the people of what took place, of all the verses that were revealed in his favor, of what took place in the Ghadir, of what the Holy Prophet had told him specifically. But what they did was to get it over and quickly done with, so that you know people are still fresh with that inciting them to, oh, we have the right to choose a successor. And they chose Abu Bakr because of seniority, because of proximity to the Prophet, and they gave the same reasons that would fit Imam Ali al-Islam better than Abu Bakr. They knew it had to be the same reason.
But they don't pretend that it was blessed by the Prophet, for example.
I haven't read it. But yeah, this is a fabricated case. Bakr ne fazail maane, aye ke vache. But they have never said that the Prophet has appointed Abu Bakr. Right? They have never said that. The next verse is Ayat al-Sadiqeen, which is Tawbah 119. Surah Tawbah
119.
don't have a concept of da'if and hasan. That is their problem. Although this hadith is not found in Sihah. They have that they're going to be 12. That is them.
In Sihah.
Like in Sihah. Oh yeah. Say Bukhari, Majid?
Bukhari. Huh? That is the most powerful proof. Sunni and Imams, the most powerful proof is not this. Is the Bukhari.
So that year there will be 12 successes after me, right?
And but they will be from the
names are not found in the Sihah, they are found in Qadr al-Sihah.
They will be the way they are today anyway. They will just say,
you see, Qadr al-Ummal to them, I'll tell you which book, if you take the Shias, yeah? To Qadr al-Ummal, it may not be as attractive a book to ordinary Sunnis as it is to scholars, Sunni scholars. Because Qadr al-Ummal, Shias, if you tell a Shia, can be halal nor masjid. Right? At least, even ordinary Shias will tell you, to be halal nor masjid, they will get busy. So keep it aside, right?
But if I'm not mistaken, Mustafa, Qadr al-Ummal is a book written by Muhakkik Hindi, right?
Ah.
Okay. Now, if I'm not mistaken, that is Jam of Sahih.
Jam of Sahih?
Yes, yeah. It is the Jam. That means, if it is
why
in Qadr, it is in one of the...
Why is it found in and not found in Sihah?
No, it can't be true. Ele Sukha Vache, Muhakkik al-Hindi Sukhera, he compiled the Sahih, removed the duplication, and he made one book, and he called Qadr al-Ummal. But it is, every one of those hadiths is in the Sahih.
Including if it's in Qadr al-Ummal.
If it is in Qadr al-Ummal, this hadith, it is in one of the, probably it is in the Sahih. We can check it.
I have Qadr al-Ummal.
Qadr al-Ummal is definitely Mujam al-Sahih. And all he has done is he has removed the duplicated verse, the duplicated hadith. That's all.
Okay, I'll check that. Dashti is a Tafsir al-Burhan, so I pick up all the Tafsir, all the references that are there from Sunni history, K Sunni history books, Mabar Imam and Nam mentioned yet. Right, Ayat al-Sadiqeen 119, Surah al-Tawbah, again it is the same thing, Kunu ma'as-Sadiqeen. Now we have done this verse to prove the ismat of the 14 ma'as-Sumeen, if you remember, Kunu ma'as-Sadiqeen, be amongst the truthful. We have around 20-25 minutes, and I want to finish this today. That is why we will go to the next one, which will take a bit of a time, it will take around 15-20 minutes, which is the fifth and the final verse that proves the walayat of Imam Ali al Islam, and that is Surah Shura, verse number 23. Ayat number 23, Surah 42, ayat number 23. This is called Ayatul Qurba, where the Holy Prophet says, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. And say, I do not seek any reward from you except love for my family. However, one or two things important that you must understand here. That the word used is al-qurba, al-illa al-mawaddata fil-qurba, al-qurba. Now, al-qurba does not mean my relatives. Al-qurba means the relatives. Right? And you got to understand, yes, Sunni location, and they're going to pick that up first. If you think like a Sunni who wants to reject, or who wants to deliberately find, okay, this ayat is not referring to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. What are the points they will come up with?
This
number one, okay, Al-Qurba is referring to relatives, the relatives. That means that the Holy Prophet is telling all of us as believers that look, if you want to repay, reward me for what I have brought, the message to you, then look after your relatives, love your relatives. Because the relatives would be relative to each one of us. My relatives, your relatives, al-qurba, right? So we have to look after them, we have to befriend them. And that is argument number one. Argument number two is this qurba إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. It is referring to الْأُمُورِ أَلَّتِي تَقْتَرِبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Look at their argument, huh? That Allah, that the Holy Prophet is asking for reward. Qurba, you know what Qurba literally means? Qurba means near ones. In Arabic, there is no inanimate gender, huh? Remember that. So even inanimate things are referred to as feminine. Things that don't have life are referred to as feminine. There is either masculine or feminine. There is no neutral gender in Arabic. So when this Qurba is written, it can mean family, but it can mean, the way some Sunnis explain, things that takes us closer to Allah. So all those actions that take us closer to Allah is what the Holy Prophet is asking for as reward for his Risala. This is argument number two. Number one was that relatives are all our relatives, not his. Number two is that this is not referring to relatives. This is referring to all those actions that take us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number three, Qurba, is that the Holy Prophet was appealing to people that the reward for my message or what I have undertaken in bringing this message to you is that at least listen to me based on the relation that I have with you. You see, he married 9 wives and each one he chose based on his relationship with a certain tribe. You've got to understand that history, right? So, ek tribe Amati, ek tribe Matia, all that, so that the relationship with the tribes are built. That was the Prophet's strategy. But the Prophet did that. And then, in return, he's asking them, Kibai Tamay, listen to me. All I am asking for is that you respect the relationship that I have with you. These are the three main arguments that the Sunni come up with. So much for each, eh?
This last one,
there's
two about relation as in relation with the tribe. Would it not be Al-Siba then?
What would it not be?
Qurba.
Ah.
Because Qurba is blood relatives. So the tribes are not blood relatives.
Al-Qaraba. Al-Nisaba Al-Qaraba.
Al-Nisaba,
yeah. Which I'm called. Let's look at the way Fasir started this from the third argument first, yeah? Third argument, if he was appealing to people who can listen to me, the reward I want is that you respect the relationship that I have with you. Most of the people who are kafirs and munafiqs, who reject it. The rest who, even based on his relationship, they believed it. So there was nothing to appeal on respect of their relationship. They believed him. There were others who did not believe in him, so there was no question of reward for my pain. Do you understand the two things? Ek baju, paygambar sathe manaso hata je iman leva. They had brought faith. Ne ek baju je iman nota leva. Je iman leva ta, there was nothing for the Prophet to ask based on the relationship that I have with you. Because they had brought faith in him. Whereas there were those people who had not brought faith on him, who are munafiqs, hypocrites, or kafirs. To them, how could he appeal a reward for the risala that I have brought for you when they don't want to believe in it? So in both the cases, the appeal for that relationship that he has with them, based on marriage or whatever it is, should be respected, has no grounds. Why should he appeal to them on the grounds of the relationship he has with them? There is no need, they have brought faith. Ne biji baju, there are kafirs and munafiqs who are not going to believe in him. So there is no question of reward for the risala. So this argument holds no water, that the Prophet was appealing on my relationship with you. It holds no water. Both the kinds of people has no value. Why? Second argument was these things that take us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The qurba is referring to those actions that take us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet should have asked in return for the risala that you do those things, not love for those things. He asked al-mawadda. Al-mawadda is to love the family, right? If he wanted to say, okay, the reward for my risala is that love for prayers and fasting, that means khali love kar del khalas. I like prayers, I like fasting. So it holds no water. That kind of argument is not there.
Isn't it, if you love something genuinely, you have to do it. So in that sense, you don't argue.
That is true, but the word that the Prophet asked is mawadda. The mawadda has the humanitarian thing in it, you know, like mawadda cannot be used also for an action care, because the word used is hub, right? Mawadda is to come close, to affection, sort of. So, it can't be used for actions. If there was any reward for actions that the Prophet would have asked, rather than saying just love, would have said do it. Right? To say it clearly. And the last thing, the argument is love for your own relatives. Ayatullah Nasir Makarim Shirazi in this book of his says, Malil Muslimin, what do the Muslims have a problem with? That they want to love their own relatives and they want to forget the Prophet's relatives. But granted, if it was your own relatives, then the least we can do is we can think of the Prophet's relatives. So he says people who say that Al-Qurba could be referring to their own individual relatives, when I read the verse and say, إِنَّ الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى, and the Prophet is asking for me to love my own relatives as a reward for his pains. Right? Why can't we read through the Asbab al-Nuzul when we come to history and we find that the Prophet was referring to his own family, not to our families. That the reward he wants for his pains in bringing the Risala to us is this love for his family. And you find again in this hadith that are there, so many hadith, that the Holy Prophet said Al-Qurba, when he recited this verse, Salman Farsi was the first one. Man ha'ula Al-Qurba, who are these near ones? And he said, Hum Ali wa Fatima wa Al-Hasan wa Al-Hasan. This is that.
I don't know
if it is in their book. There are a lot of other hadiths in their books as well.
On this verse there is a good proof for some.
Ruh al-Ma'ani, ji.
A verse was said, Sahih Muslim. It's quite a strong word. In Sahih Muslim he quotes a hadith saying the Prophet was asked, who are the Qurba? He said, they are my Ahlul Bayt. Only that.
But that goes back to Aisha and whatever.
Then based on that you can bounce into the, that also from Sahih Muslim you can show it what is Ahlul Bayt.
No, Sahih Muslim, the hadith says not my wives, but Ali Aqim and Ali Ja'far.
Yes, right.
And the others
are more. That's right. Yeah.
Other.
But there is this, he was asked, I don't know who asked him this, Salman or not, but he said, push on my wife, he said. That is there in Sahih Muslim, for sure. I know because it came up in Iran. Sahih Muslim, also Suyuti, Ibn Manthur.
Isn't there a message here for us? I mean, of course Allah knows better, but he could very easily have said my family as opposed to the family. He's put the family for a reason. Again, to leave some leeway for people who want to... So many other places, he's left it deliberately ambiguous for those who wish to find ambiguity.
Shawahid al-Tanzil is another book of the Sunnis. Shawahid al-Tanzil Shawahid is plural of Shahid. Shahid is the event. Tanzil is the verse being revealed. So Sunni nije kitab che Shawahid al-Tanzil. In that book, these hadiths are there. That Shawahid al-Tanzil and then Fadail al-Sahaba, all these books, they come to the same hadith. That who are the Qurba? I must read you this hadith, which is from Zamakhshari in Al-Kashaf. Zamakhshari again, Jarullah, Zamakhshari is a great Sunni scholar in Tafsir al-Kashaf. وكذا الفخر الرازي في التفسير الكبير والقرطبي في تفسيره قرطبي is also a Sunni alim حديثا عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله في ذيل هذه الآية الكريمة that in this verse the tafsir that they wrote this hadith تكشف عن أهمية مودة آل محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بالنحو المدهش ونحن هنا ننقل نص الحديث عن تفسير الكشاف إذ يقول Now Zamakhshari is saying in the tafsir of this particular verse, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ مَنْ مَاتَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ مَاتَ شَهِدًا أَلَا وَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ مَاتَ مَغْفُورًا لَهُ أَلَا وَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ مَاتَ تَائِبًا أَلَا وَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ مَاتَ مُؤْمِنًا مُسْتَكْمِلُ الْإِيمَانِ ألا ومن مات على حب آل محمد بشره ملك الموت بالجنة ثم منكر ونكير ألا ومن مات على حب آل محمد يزف إلى الجنة كما تزف العروس إلى بيت زوجها All this is a long hadith. This is describing that whoever dies on the love of Muhammad or Al Muhammad dies a mu'min complete in his faith, dies having forgiven Allah, having forgiven his sins, dies and is told of Jannah by Malikul Maut and Munkar and Nakir, dies and is taken to Jannah the way a bride is taken to her husband's house. All these descriptions, he says, quotes a hadith from the Holy Prophet. And who does this? Zamakhshari in Tafsir al-Kashaf. When it comes to this verse. Despite all that. Ki hubbu ala Muhammad ni ahmiyat sushayt. They know all these things.
Abbas, what I was telling is here in this. That Ibn Hajar in Sawaiq al-Muhrika.
Sawaiq al-Muhrika.
Sawaiq al-Muhrika. In the account of Umar bin Khattab having accepted that the near relatives of the Holy Prophet are the Ahlul Bayt. Huh. The same opinion is in Tafsir Kashaf, Sahih Muslim, Musnad al-Dhammal and Tafsir Nur al-Mansur.
But that is Ahlul Bayt, ne?
Yeah. No, we were talking about Ahlul Bayt earlier.
Qurba, man ti Qurba ni
atka? Qurba. The near relatives.
The near relatives are Ahlul Bayt.
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, what's all right? The three arguments you gave, the three main arguments, for such an important ayah, they seem kind of lame, lack of better word.
Okay, Alex?
These three arguments you gave, they seem very lame, that you could easily punch hole in them, very easily.
That's the kind of arguments they come up with.
No, sure. But they must have something heavier, like the Tabir must have something...
No, but the point is that the Sunnis, they shouldn't have no problem with this verse. They generally accept it. If you ask a Sunni, what is your feeling about Ali Fatima Hassan? They have a lot of respect.
They say, oh, we love Ahlul Bayt.
Yeah, we love Ahlul Bayt based on this ayat of Mawadda. So
they have no problem. Oh, yeah, even the fanatics, they come up with this kind of argument.
I mean, every mainstream Sunni, you tell him about Imam Ali al-Islam or, you know, Fatima, they have the utmost respect.
What about the actions of Umar?
No, we talk about the Ahlul Bayt, they have utmost respect.
Remember,
what? Koi suni nahi mile je Imam Hussain al-Islam ne maan ki nahi bula hai, maan se ne maan ki nahi bula hai.
You remember?
Fatima ne maan ki nahi bula hai. Because these verses, that they take it as it comes. And, you know, Mawadda fil Qurba means that.
You remember one point?
What he means that the action of Abu Bakr and Umar to be Fatima and Imam Ali, how do you counterbalance that? I mean, they're giving respect at the same time he's asking a question. So how do you represent in their book?
Bulk era ne maafi maangi. Bulk era maafi maangi. You see, Abu Bakr and Umar bulk era maafi maangi. You see, tamhe suni ne pucha karo, ke aasu kam ke raayet ma. Bulk era maafi maangi.
You see, the thing is, for example, our ideas of Sunnis, for example, are very tainted today. We think of Wahhabis and what they've done in Jamzul Baqi and destroying all these Zaris were there 100 years ago, 150 years ago. It was only recently that they've been destroyed. Previously, they allowed us to have them. They didn't have a problem with us having Zaris. I went to a Sunni Namaz al-Jummah, and I was shocked that in their khutbah, I heard Al-Hassan wal-Hussein say they're Shabab al-Jannah. I thought I'm in the wrong mosque here. It's not a Sunni mosque.
If you ask them this direct question, because it's in Sahih Muslim, it's very awkward. You see, in Sahih Muslim, it's very interesting. There's a hadith that says, Fatima to Bizatumin. Fatima is a part of me, whoever has Whoever has hurt me has hurt Allah. Fine, can choose his place in the fire. This is in Muslim. 5 pages later, same chapter, the next chapter, my hadith chair, okay. Fatima died while she was upset with Shaykh Abu Bakr. Oh yeah. She died while she was upset with them because of what they did to her in regard to Fatima. Now when you put these two together, the same thing is, if she's upset with them, then they have upset Allah. So there is a big dilemma for them, like a Sahih Muslim. So they get around it by saying like a bulkar, there's no doubt about maafi mangi. Maafi mangi wa aiba ki jana wa Fatima paza. There is a hadith ki alaka aiba, Fatima dadna ipa alaka. Dadna ipa, and she also said ki mani chene mara funeral ma panna aga. Even he has written that part. But they definitely, you know, there is in history, they came, they realized they have done something wrong. They came, why they came, I don't know, but they have come to ask for forgiveness. She didn't want to listen.
But how does that work? If I steal something from you and I ask for forgiveness, I give it back. I mean, how does that work? You ask for forgiveness, but I'll keep it anyway.
You say they
will
be forgiven, they have been forgiven.
No, you see, there are some dilemmas. When you question the Sunni, we have argued on this case. One Sunni friend wrote to me, ke, very strange. I said to him, I love the way you have written this, but explain to me. He wrote, Muawiyah radiallahu an engaged Ali radiallahu an to battle at Siffin. Doesn't radiallahu an mean Allah is being pleased with him, right? How can he be pleased with both? If they engaged each other in battle. Now, this question is not for us to ask. This question is for us, is beyond our That is the
right.
Khalid bin Walid da bala mo ek jan ne unko shakar
bani ki ye maafi mango. So they speculate all these things.
Honestly, I think Sunni is a better religion. No? It's very easy to be forgiven.
No, it's like they don't want to take stance. Companions Raveto, they say, you know, everybody is, who are we to judge? Right? That's the stand they take. Now, that is true when we are sitting amongst each other. I am not here to judge you, you are not here to judge me. But when you do something in public, right? Something as grave as displeasing, for example, with Fatima Zahra alayhi salam. How can I sit back and say you are okay? I mean, God will forgive you. Then there is no tawal and tabar. I mean, these are the principles they have not taken account of. So the Sunnis, Satyadama, Besa, you have to be quite methodical in bringing the whole thing. If we bring to them bits and pieces from here and there, they will get their way around it and get away. It has to be methodical.
Every major argument that we have got, you can bet they have got an argument. They have. Every argument you can think of, Amaraj argument from Yuska, you bring them in front of a Sunni and you think it's enough, and you have an idea. He has heard them all, he has got answers for all. Because they have come across this thing before. I remember once when, in a naive way, I went to a Sunni attacking him on, Ayatul Ghadir Matam. I said, look, here's your book, it says, you know, Man kuntu mawlahu fahada alihi mawla. So, Man kuntu okay, Omar saying, Asbahtu mawlahi mawla. There's no problem with this. The problem was, okay, did Imam Ali become the friend then? He was not the friend before. No, don't you know history? Yaman gaya lewa. Just before Hajj, it's true, Imam Ali went to Yaman. The Prophet sent him to Yaman to collect Najran's
tax.
So, they went, they got it. Some of the prominent companions of Imam Ali took some of the armor that Najran were iron and they were trying it on. So, yeah. Imam Ali in front of them in Maghrib Salat time, Badanikida Utarakam. Take them off. Haji, the Prophet of God has not seen it and you have taken bits and pieces and removed. So Makkah time, Hajj Malaka, they complained bitterly to the Prophet throughout. Ali Aw Nano Tempis Warasno and a senior Ola, my senior companions, ni Aitna Balin Same Boilo, Kida Utarinako, you know, this, that and the other, and there was a lot of bickering. If I am your friend, then this Ali has got to be your friend. That is the history. That took me really back, you know. And then when I read the books, it is there. It is that Imam Ali did go to Yaman. And Imam Ali did tell them, remove it. You know, she kept the history. and the fact, but obviously the Prophet didn't mean that. You see, when you go to them, you get to have an argument backed up by a third argument. Because they are not going to discuss.
So, I just want to finish this. We're running short of time. And that is in Surah Shu'ara, verse number 109, 127, 145, 164, and 180. All the different messengers that were sent by Allah asked, وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهُ مِنْ أَجْرٍ إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That is the verse, right? In Surah Shu'ara. All prophets.
What ayat?
Surah Shu'ara, verse number 109. Surah Shu'ara is Surah number?
26.
Verse number 109, 127, 145, 164, and 180. These verses, they all say that these messengers came and said that our reward is on the Lord, on the Master of the Universe, right? Okay. Holy Prophet has asked in three different verses. One is the verse that we are studying, which is Shura 23. Then there is a verse, Surah Al-Furqan, verse number 57. Surah Al-Furqan. Furqan, kaisa masur?
57.
Furqan, kaisa masur?
25.
Shu'ara kaisa masur? Verse number 57. قُلْ مَا أَسَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْلٍ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ أَنْ يَتَّخِرَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا. Right? So I do not ask from you any reward except that whoever wants can take the path that will take them to Allah. Right? Then, keep these verses. One is إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ يَتَّخِذَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا. And then he says in Surah Saba. Saba is Surah number? Surah Saba? 34. Surah number 34, verse number 48.
No, he's supposed to pick them till 29.
No, that's 10. Alhamdulillah.
Surah number 34, verse number 48. قُلْ مَا سَأَلْتُكُمْ مِنْ أَجْرٍ فَهُوَ لَكُمْ. What I ask for a reward from you is for you. إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ. My reward is only from Allah. Now if you put these together, right, that means it is from Allah that we love His Ahlul Bayt. And that is the path that takes us to Allah. And that is our salvation. فَوَلَكُمْ. These are four things he says. ایک بار جو کہ چھے ان اجریا الا علی اللہ. ایک بار جو کہ چھے المودت فی القربہ. ایک بار جو کہ چھے what I ask is فَوَلَكُمْ. And ایک بار جو کہ چھے من شاء يتخذ الى ربه سبیلا. Right? If you put these four things together, you realize that it is from Allah that we are supposed to love the Ahlul Bayt. And when we love the Ahlul Bayt, that is the path that is that will take us to Allah. And whatever the Prophet is asking from us as a reward is for us, not for you. So it is for our own salvation that we follow the path that will take us to Allah. And that is the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. And that is what Allah wants from us. You have to put these four verses together, these three verses together, to be able to get a clear picture of what is the Ajrul Risala that the Holy Prophet is asking for. So verse number Shura 23, Furqan 57, and Saba 47. These are the three verses, four things that the Holy Prophet is saying about Ajrul Risala. If you put them together, you find it is from Allah, for our own salvation, that the path that will take us to Him is the path of Ahlul Bayt. That's how in the Quran you fassir ba'aluhu. Quran, some verses of the Quran will interpret other verses of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us, as we say in Eid-e-Ghadir, الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية أمير المؤمنين. This is the greetings that we exchange with each other on the day of Ghadir. That Alhamdulillah, thanks be to Allah, that He has made us amongst those who are holding fast onto the walayat of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi wasalam. Right. Now, before we break for namaz, next Monday, there is nothing next Monday because Sunday we have Milad al-Nabi, right?